This is Doctoring Up Design, the official design hardware podcast. I'm Josh Cooperman, and today we are continuing our conversation about safety and security in residential design. This topic is not being discussed to scare you or to make anyone uncomfortable. To the contrary, actually, there are a few ideas here that are extremely important and incredibly timely. Here's the concept. We live in a civilized society, but not necessarily a safe one. So weather patterns have changed, and it would be crazy not to address those changes by preparing for the worst possible outcomes, right? Technological advances have made the modern American home stronger, more efficient, more comfortable, and highly performative. It also has made us susceptible to hacks through those new digital tools. And it continues to get better, but it would be crazy not to prepare for the worst in those possible outcomes. Our society, too, has become more dangerous. It's just the way it is. So if you're a homeowner listening to this and safety is important to you, keep listening. If you're a designer, architect, or builder, you have a remarkable opportunity to increase your firm's profile, create a new value proposition, a brand extension that will set you apart by offering something that is not widely offered by the design trade at large. And you will generate more revenue in the process. If this is of interest to you, this is what you heard in the last episode of the show. You heard from Garrett Wynn and Matt Terry from SafeRoom.com. This is part two of that conversation. In part one, we discussed the very basics of beginning to plan out your safe room design and the very basic ideas around that design itself. In February of 2024, Garrett, Matt, and I met again, this time in person at the Design Hardware showroom in Los Angeles to discuss these very ideas with far more depth and texture. We covered a lot of ground, and you are going to, if you're considering a safe room for your home or as a designer, you want to offer this as part of your services, you're going to want to hear this. It's great information that not only provides a much needed service, but it also creates that revenue stream for designers, architects, or builders. Those in real estate should also give a listen. This could be the reason why buyers might select one property over another. We're going to get to all that right after this.
Dutch decking company Estec is driven to create and manufacture a sustainable, high-quality decking product for hospitality, leisure, and residential applications. Estec was introduced in 2007. This revolutionary product was originally designed for the boat building industry due to its flexibility. It provides designers and architects with more freedom to create using a sustainable designed composite material. Estec is perfect for nautical and residential decking, as well as facades and other applications you can create. Design Hardware is where you find brands blazing new design trails, like those from Estec. For more information about Estec and other extraordinary companies changing the look and feel of luxury design, visit designhardware.com or on the socials at Design Hardware and Flooring.
I love this. This is part two of our conversation about safe rooms. And if you're listening to this and you have any questions about what you missed in the first part, you can go to Doctoring Up Design, check the show notes for part one on safe rooms, go listen to that one, and then this is part two. There are also links in the show notes to saferoom.com, correct?
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And you can catch up on what Garrett and Matt do. Welcome back to the show.
Thank you. Thanks for having us again. Yeah.
So, to reset the table, I love this conversation. Because this is something that doesn't happen enough as far as this conversation. And I think this conversation doesn't happen enough for two reasons. One, traditionally, safe rooms have not been a high priority overall, residential, commercial, industrial, right, in the United States, because we haven't really needed to. Mm-hmm. And it's a sad state of affairs that we kind of need to, but yes, the need is growing. And also because for those who you have served in the past, they're the type of people who don't necessarily want to advertise that they have a safe room.
Absolutely.
So it makes it hard to showcase your product.
Yes.
So that being said, and sort of resetting the table, what has the growth been like in your industry over, let's call it, because I feel like, you know, we're in a post-pandemic era. So post-pandemic, Certainly. What has the growth been like?
It has jumped considerably. there's been quite a bit of inquiry about it, and probably even more than before, people are going forward with it. And it does seem to be trickling down more into residential areas and projects that might not have reached out before. So it is growing. I think the knowledge is getting out there that these can be put in the residential areas and they're not, you know, obtrusive in bunkers, because I think people still have that, a safe room. It's just, you know, a claustrophobic space somewhere. And so that the word's getting out with that due to the necessity of security. Mm-hmm. So it is growing, and we're trying to fill that niche.
That's the residential side.
Yes.
Talk to me, and we talked a little bit about, from a safety perspective, about mm-hmm. schools, hospitals, mm-hmm. Industrial businesses, hotels. You know, mm-hmm. I could imagine hotel projects where they would want, in not in every room perhaps, but in certain suites, they might want.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Do you do that?
We've been approached for it in the past, like specific hotel brands for, like you said, certain suites, like in Dubai or different areas where you have high-profile people staying and going. Can't say whether or not anything went through for sure, but we definitely have been approached.
Dude, oh my God, it's so funny. The funniest part of that is, like, you can say whether or not things have gone through, and we would have no idea when or where they were.
We're just programmed that way. We really are.
That's an excellent point. Okay, so you kind of have to be programmed that way.
Yes.
Talk to me about, because let's address that, because I think that that's something specifically for those in the trade, you know, and maybe this is a good place to start. Let's reset that table as far as with whom you work: builders, architects, designers, client direct.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, really, we come in typically from a builder that's been recommended to us by a security contractor or word of mouth from other projects. We take them from the very beginning and figure out what the assessment is, the threat assessment, and what it may or may not be, and we can build and tailor a project specifically what their needs are.
Karen?
Yeah, it's from many different aspects coming in. Could be a designer or architect. It would be nice if those people could come in early on the project and, you know, communicate with the whole team to see if this is a necessity we need to research. Right. And if so, let's bring it in with the whole team together, because there's complications usually later in the project. Architect wasn't involved, or the builder didn't know what am I doing here? What do I have to incorporate? That's a really important aspect. The sooner everybody can be on the same page, it just goes smoother. But we can handle it any other way. It's just a lot easier from the beginning with everybody working together.
I think in a post-World War II environment, mm-hmm. safety, security has somewhat taken a backseat to luxury and lifestyle. Fair?
Absolutely fair.
Yeah. Those that have the money have the ability to secure themselves or their valuables as easily as possible, whereas most folks don't think of that in a residential capacity. They're thinking of a small area like a storm shelter or a safe for their valuables, and do not realize that it doesn't have to be something that is so overwhelming and cumbersome. It's something that you can work in to your project very early on, and even if you're doing something simple as just putting up a ballistic layer or a what's the word we're looking for, a break-in resistant,
yeah, entry
resistant layer. Yeah. Those are really easy things to put into an area that don't add a lot to the cost of the build and the overall scope of things. So if they start looking at things sooner on in the process, I think people would be a little more receptive to having something like a safe place, like a safe room in their house.
And back to the idea of luxury is what's become mm-hmm. the top priority and like that. And that trickles down even to us, where they want fancy features and, you know, which we can accommodate, but we don't recommend. basic, simple, secure is what you want to do. An example is automating doors. A lot of people say, you've got to have the automated door. You've got to push the button. It's got to close for you. And it's like, well, there's an inherent risk there. You're relying on computer technology, microprocessors to run that system. You know, the one time it glitches might be the only time it glitches. Is it the one time you need it? So simplicity is really key. Everybody can grab a handle and slide a door that you don't have to push a button to lock. It's just automatic. You just slide it yourself. It's perfect. It's the safest and most secure way to do it.
I think what a lot of people don't really think about is a safe room is a prophylactic. It's not something that you do every day. And people would say, well, I don't want to live that way. Mm-hmm. We get right. that a lot, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Yes.
At the same time, those who forget history are doomed to repeat it, right?
Oh, absolutely.
And let's not forget that in the 50s, bomb shelters were
that
thing.
Was it. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And this is, you know, if you live in the Midwest, having a storm shelter is not an uncommon thing. It's very, very common. Well, why do you have a storm shelter? Well, because there's a need for it. Mm-hmm. I think change is really, really hard.
Oh, absolutely.
And the idea of adding a prophylactic like a safe room is something that people will look at the money that shows versus the money that doesn't show versus the cost per use. But look, when you have insurance, I guess I'm running a one-man debate here on do I need it? Why do I need it? Why do you need it?
Well, you just never know in today's society and with the break-ins that are happening, especially in the LA area here, we're hearing all kinds of stories and we're getting people reaching out that are scared, like the neighbor. This is what happened. Can you help us? It's like, yes. Yeah, this is what we're here to do.
Rural areas, for that matter, where you don't have necessarily the coverage of police or sheriff's offices that are readily available to respond to every call. If you can give someone a space to go to allow them some time to have all of their family in one area or themselves, that gives them the peace of mind that the immediate threat is staved off. It's
deterred for a certain amount of time till you can get the help that you need.
Okay, so let's talk about this. Let's talk about certain types of projects. And I'm curious, so have you done a hotel? Sorry, can't ask that. Let's say hypothetically,
okay,
you were to do a hotel.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You're speaking with a hotelier, an architect. Who does it start with? Does it start with the developer? Does it start with the architect? Where would a conversation like that start?
That would probably be coming from corporate, in a corporate environment like the hotel, of knowing who's going to be there, what type of profile clients they have, and then they would incorporate that into reaching out to either their security consultant or the builder and saying, you need to find someone to bring in to accommodate this for specific areas.
So in many cases, you're dealing with a security consultant. Do you have to, not that there's not a value in security consultants, but do you have to work with a security consultant?
No.
Absolutely not.
Okay.
Not at all.
Do you, hypothetically, have to find space? Do you carve the space out? Does there have to be a specific type of space? In other words, does it have to be attached to a beam? Does it have to be, are there certain specifications that must be present?
Yeah, for the structure of the safe room door system, there will be things that are needed. And that's where coming in early to incorporate that works a lot better with the architects. They can have that in their build out on the plans. If we come in later, it's still available to do, but you will need specific structural items to accommodate the door system, the wall build outs, depending on how involved you want to get, what the protection level is you want to get. It could be ceilings, floors, but most commercial like that, you're looking at slabs on ceilings and floors, which isn't an issue, but If there's not slabs, then we'll come in and probably have to do the whole room. And then you got to bring in hotel room. It's got to be windows. Mm-hmm. You know, got to look at that too.
We have to look at what space would work the best for a safe room. When we go into a project and assess it, we're looking for things, egresses, entering areas of getting into the room itself, windows, any of those things we have to consider when placing and designing the room. And then oftentimes there'll be things that maybe the builder or the client is not considered, and we'll have to point things out like, this is what we see happening. This is the design that we suggest, and these are the reasons why. And if we give those reasons, they typically accommodate us and understand, okay, that makes sense. Never thought of it that way. Let's try a different area, or that's a great idea. We will use this area.
In the corporate environment, bathrooms usually are the best because you're not going to have the windows, and you're going to have water access. You're going to have the facility. So that tends to be the go-to, and it's a smaller working area, so it's easier to build out, even expense-wise. You're not doing a whole corporate office. I mean, we can, but that's where we'd look in corporate structures usually. It's an easier build, and it's off of the outside walls. It's off of windows.
Changing gears from mm-hmm. hospitality and corporate to residential and schools and hospitals. And, you know, I mean, look, when we last spoke, it was towards the end of 2023. And towards the end of the year, the United States had already broken a record of mass shootings. And it's completely plausible that every year we might continue to break these records because nothing's changed to stem that. And I think it was like 550 events. So you don't start to think about residential only because those numbers aren't even included. That's just mass shooting events where you're talking about schools. And so there was one recently this year which took place at a massive church in Houston. In something like that, there isn't necessarily any time for someone to respond. But the environment is still dangerous present. Sure. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, hypothetically, were you to be working with a school or a house of worship or mm-hmm. a hospital, mm-hmm. do you find yourselves hypothetically working with them as well? And were you to hypothetically work with them, how would you address that type of an environment?
That type of environment, you'd be looking at where you could get the people secure as quick as possible. Because it's not a CEO's corporate office. It's not master bedroom where you've got a couple people. You're dealing with a lot of people. And areas that can be shut off there might be limiting on size or limited on access. Who do you shut out? Who do you not shut out? That becomes a big issue too. So it's figuring the best way to securely find a space to hold all those people, you know, or separate spaces like classrooms.
Then you have to work with the individual agencies, for like building codes and whatnot, where you may or may not be able to have access or an area shut off with a door that doesn't allow
fire codes
personnel into those areas. So you'd have to work very closely with a project of that size to see what the restrictions would be. Because many times we've had our hands tied where there might be a job and they go, we're not even allowed to have this in here by code. And so we have to accommodate that.
Yeah, egress for non-threatening from that type of threat, but threat from fire or something else. You've got to have the proper egresses in place. If you have egresses, then you have an access to get
in. Points of vulnerability.
Points of vulnerability, exactly. And then with that, yeah, there's codes and ADA compliance, especially in commercial areas and like that. We've got to make sure that that's handled and taken care of as well. It becomes, you know, a much deeper and involved project to do.
And it's also in the way that you think about it, I would imagine. Did you ever see the, do you remember the opening for the old Get Smart?
Oh, yeah.
The opening closed when you're walking through, and every door in the world is closed.
Right.
I imagine, too, you know, not to make light of it, but in a school scenario where you would perhaps have two pinch points, where you would have one door on this side, one door on that side, with no hallways or no flow through, where you could safely secure in place a group until the threat was neutralized or eliminated entirely. Mm-hmm. I guess that's what the thought process is. Mm-hmm. So I think, and you know, this is just an opinion based on a lot of conversations, I think many people would think a couple of things. It's too expensive, but what's your security really worth? And then where do I start? So regardless of the environment, mm-hmm. let's look at the thought process.
Okay.
Where does one begin, be it a homeowner, designer, architect, developer, CEO, where does one begin to think about the process? How does one logically, before they call you, mm-hmm. start to plan that out? And then let's rip the Band-Aid off this and talk about the budget, because that's what it always comes down to, mm-hmm. is the
right.
money.
Absolutely.
If it wasn't the money, people would be like, oh yeah, I want six of them. Make every room safe.
Right.
You know, but that's not reasonable. So let's talk about the budget, and let's look at, okay, so here's the door. You have to consider the door, and then there's the paneling, and then there's the HVAC and ventilation, and then there's the technology and communications. Let's walk through this.
Okay. So before reaching out to us, really it's going to be the idea of, we need a secure space within our home or our office. I think at that point is where you want to reach out that soon. The fact that we can walk you through different scenarios and examples to help you plan accordingly, as opposed to someone coming up, oh, let's talk about it, let's plan it, and coming to us and go, this is what we're doing. And I'm like, okay, that's great. Do you mind if we see a set of plans? Can we do a job walk? And we go in and we can say, yes, this will work. This is mm-hmm. just like we did yesterday. Mm-hmm. We understand what you're doing, and that will work for what you explained. But did you think about this?
Right.
How about securing it further by doing something as simple as this? And most of the time, they'll be like, oh, okay, that we understand, that makes sense. So the quicker we can get involved with the conversation, we can help steer everyone in the right direction on, okay, this is what we're going to do, this is how we're going to build it. Then it's like pricing, as you said. What's the cost? Is this going to be affordable? Is this within our budget? And that's where we start with that. It's based on the level of threat you're trying to stop. Is it just entry resistance, where you want to buy some time if someone's breaking in? Oh, I can't get to you. I need tools. I need to cut walls and like that. And that's the bottom. That's the bottom level of it. And then from there, you can go up with ballistics. Are you worried somebody's going to shoot through the wall or try to shoot through the door at you? Then we'll step that up. Or, you know, oh, somebody's coming in with, you know, heavier firearms. We can step that up as well. The cost exponentially goes up with the level of threat you're trying to stop. So you have to be the mindset of what really is going to happen, what you're looking to do. And I would say most projects are, you know, handgun-based that they're concerned with. They want to protect at least that level, which inherently makes the entry resistant that much higher when you add ballistic to it. And, you know, just a simple project, entry resistance with a door and a space, I'm just ballparking pricing, you're probably pushing 40,000 or so, give or take, just for entry level resistance in a small area that could be 10 by 10. You can start with that as just a ballpark. So you realize it's not 4,000. Like, okay, can I just get a door and some wall pieces? It's not that. And we've seen in the industry, like in most things, you get what you pay for. And we always say, it's, you know, you can't put a price on yourself. Your valuables, that's all replaceable, but you're not. If you're not there to enjoy them, what good are they anyway?
Certainly.
And that of your family.
And the family 100%. As well, yes.
So this is probably the least had conversation, I would imagine. What else goes into that? Because once you have, so I'll get a new microphone or I'll get a new camera, then I have to learn how to use it.
Yes. Yeah.
Yes.
Absolutely. If you go a long time between using it, you'll forget things, right? So you got to keep up on it all the time.
What is this? So with a safe room, is there a security plan? Is there a program? How does one begin to craft, assuming that you're not working with a security consultant?
Mm-hmm.
And really, this conversation is geared towards designers, architects, developers, builders, those in the trade. How does one begin to think of that before they involve that of a security consultant? Because, I mean, look, let's be frank. I don't think you, and you already said, you don't need a security consultant for every project.
No. Correct.
So how does a professional in the design industry begin to think about this?
Maybe to begin with, as you're designing your space, consider where the ideal spot for a safe room may be. And then based upon that, we can give suggestions based upon your expectations, your wants, your needs. And the earlier we get in on the process, the easier it'll be to use. So that when you do have to use it, it's not cumbersome, it's easy. You go to it, it works every time. And then you practice that once you have that in place there. Just like everybody should know how to get in and out of their house. If there's a fire, this is where we're going to go to. If it's an emergency situation, such as that comes up, this is the plan. You go by that plan. And you remember it. And you practice it with everybody in the house. I think that's very important.
And going back to the designer issue on that is get in touch with us sooner than later, because there's going to be some components that need to be in the room with you. And those components aren't necessarily things that a designer wants to see in the room they're building.
And designers,
because this isn't a safe room.
Yeah.
It's whatever room the designer's creating, but it happens to be utilized as a safe room. So to be able to hide some of the things that are necessary in there within that space would be great for them to know up front. Mm-hmm. Because usually every inch of that room...
We fight for it all. We fight for every square inch.
Yeah, and they're like, no. Every square inch is utilized already. We've got a plan for it. So coming in early, like, hey, can you give us this much space for this? And they're like, wow, yeah, we don't want to see that. We got a perfect spot. Thank you for letting me know that.
Let's accommodate that here.
Yes.
Then let's move over to the specification process. You know, what is needed? We're talking, so a door, totally get it. I'm going to assume, tell me if I'm incorrect, that the door itself, you handle the framing, the insert, the door itself, the locking mechanism, the hardware, I would assume. What else?
It actually isn't that overwhelming of amount of parts. It's quite simple the way it works. It doesn't take up a ton of room. For the power supplies and whatnot, you only need a small area in a closet, out of sight, out of mind. As for the structure itself of the doors, it works into your framing for the most part. If there's custom applications, we will consider that and give suggestions of how to frame that out to make it work in your environment. But really, it's not an overwhelming process to put a door into your, a safe room door, specifically into your home.
Then let's expand on that and talk about some the panels and a more advanced structure.
Yeah, that just goes into basically the wall build-outs. So if we come in early during the construction phase, the build-out phase, then the architect just specifies the wall build-outs. And it's not the funnest material to work with for the people putting it in, but it's easily done from the get-go. And if you're going to remodel, then you know you're going to have to take the walls down to studs and then follow some certain procedures to secure it further than what was there before. And for the doors, when we were talking about that, we keep the doors simple. most of the time the door is not going to be used unless it's an emergency situation. So we have the ability to skin the doors to, you know, have nice wood stain paneled both sides to match the rest of the decor within the house. That's absolutely an option. It's not recommended because it's just going to increase the price to make it that well, and that's something that you're never going to see, but the person seeing it is going to be a person you want to keep out. Yeah. So you don't really need that aesthetic on there unless you're going to use it as an everyday use door, which we don't recommend. They slide easy, they're easy to use, but they are weighty. So over time, it's just like, wow, this door is so heavy to go in and out of every day or every my master closet all the time. Mm-hmm. So that's where you just have maybe a double pocket door. So you have the nice door that's easy and slides, or it can even be a swing door.
And the other thing that I kind of wanted to address with this too is I feel like the idea of a safe room has become design antiseptic. Like, you don't, there's not a lot of, people don't consider the ability to add a lot of design elements to it. And I think that that's totally wrong. You know, you look at the idea of a speakeasy or, mm-hmm. or yes. any room yes. that is, you know, meant to be disguised or mm-hmm. hidden or mm-hmm. repurposed or something else. It's a matter of creativity. So it's actually the opposite. It's a very flexible space. You can do a lot with it, right?
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. It is your regular living space. We don't want you to have to have just a room dedicated to that. Then you're losing, you know, everyday use space. I mean, you can do that, but ours are just concealed, so it's out of sight, out of mind. You know, you don't want to walk, there's the safe room. Hope I never have to use that. It's just like, I'm in and out of my closet. Well, I know if something happens, I can come in here and be secure. And then you can design that. I mean, it can look great. It can look fabulous.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Curious. Talk about the noise baffling nature of the doors and the panels, because I'm going to assume that because of the manner in which they're built, the materials of which they're made, there's probably additional benefits on sound barriers or that kind of thing too as well.
Yeah, if you're ballistically lining it, those ballistic panels are actually used by some theater companies for home theaters because of the acoustics. The panels come with an inherent 1-hour fire rating. Not that we're trying to create a fireproof space, but it that is also a benefit from them. So the walls will be much stronger, much more secure with that paneling up.
So, for instance, if someone had a room in their home that they wanted to use as a home theater, so it's not like a bathroom or an office or a bedroom where you're using the door every single day, but the kids are upstairs sleeping and you have a theater downstairs and you're listening to something loud. Mm-hmm. It's a movie premiere, or you want to watch movies, or you want to just hang out, and you can close that theater door and you can get silence in the room or silence outside. It's still a functional space. Yes. It's a safe room as well.
Yes, absolutely. You can make the spaces as really quiet as you'd like with the additional studs and the attachment points for the panels. It allows you to also have a very solid surface for cabinetry, woodwork, things like that go along with the aesthetics of the room that you're trying to use. It just makes it easier for everybody installing on the project in general.
Yeah, home theater contractors we've worked with have specifically done the ballistic panels in the theater room for the sound like you're speaking of, which I haven't seen the end use and see how much it actually keeps out, but they're the professionals in the sound deadening. If they're using the panels for that, obviously they're going to work. And then we're brought in, and sometimes it's like, we got the one entry to the theater here, and it's already lined. Can make the theater a safe room? Absolutely.
What is the one thing, or I won't limit it to one thing, but what are the things that you wish people knew about what you do? And when I say people, I should specify. Designers, architects, specifiers in the business, and end users, client, What would you like them to know about what you do that you don't think they know?
I think the one of the biggest things we run into is a pocketing slider. Maybe some people don't really understand the concept of it. They just think, oh, a pocketing slider. No, I have a swing door there. I just want to get a swing door from you. And it's like, okay, can we walk through this? Can we look at your space? Can I have the Zoom meeting where we're going to show you exactly what it is? It's not as intrusive as you think. It's the most secure option. And it just happens to be the most cost-effective option on top of that. It's a win-win for everybody in it. And that's where everybody's just swing door, swing door. That's because that's all you see in most of your houses. That's what you're used to using. But you can have that swing door, but behind it, you have your pocketing slider that is out of sight and out of mind. That's the biggest one to bring people into. And that's what we show when we walk through our display room. They're like, oh, that's, we can fit that. You see, we're on a Zoom call and we're talking about a swing door. I said, do you mind if I show you the pocketing slider? And they'll be looking and they'll look at each other. Wait, that'll work, won't it? And they're like, yeah, that's easy. We could do that. It's like, okay, now you understand.
So I want to go back to the question in a minute. I'm just mm-hmm. curious. So you can put the pocketing door behind a swing door.
Yes.
On
yes.
both sides? Or on one side?
It would be the interior right. side for ideally, it could go on both. Ideally, you want the pocketing slider in the room just because it's concealed a little bit further than that. You would have to have your everyday use door as an outswing though, because you never want a door to swing in the path of the slider to block you from sliding a door. We're back to simplicity of grab a handle and slide, especially in a duress situation. Mm-hmm. Nobody knows how their client's going to react in that. Could be cool and calm, or it could be completely panicked. So just something you slide and you don't even have to lock it. It just locks itself. Okay, that's where we're going and that's what we push, and that is another thing. Well, what do we want this, or we want this feature, we want this feature. It's like, let's bring it down to the simplest form for a bad situation. Because you and I might know how we react or have an idea, but we wouldn't know our client. We don't know how they would react in that.
Absolutely right.
And to keep them safe, you got to keep it simple. And that's the hard part.
What's the maintenance required?
We have a maintenance contract where we go out every 2 years for the backup battery system. The batteries are good 3 to 5, but we swap them every 2 to stay ahead of that. And we also just run the system. We tell everybody, you know, exercise this every week.
Yeah, every week.
Every week. So you know, you're familiar.
Yes. Familiarity creates ease of use. So if you go in there, you look at the door, make sure everything's functioning the way it's supposed to be functioning, you'll never have to worry about it.
And if there is an issue, let's say something, the house is settled and something's not aligning properly, then you'd know that and you could call us and we come take care of it. That's all part of the maintenance agreement. We'll be out there, we'll help you. The electronics, all that is warrantied with the maintenance program. Anything goes bad, we're there. But we go on a maintenance job sometimes and they're like, oh, I don't think that door's been shut since the last time you guys were here. And, you know, with a little laugh, and it's like, you should probably be testing this more often just to make sure, because you don't want to go when you need it, like, oh, I didn't realize that this or this. So
we've taught people how to check their smoke detectors. You know, first of the year, change the batteries in your smoke detector, make sure that works. That's kind of something that most everybody knows. So if we can kind of use that particular mindset for a safe room, we can make it a little bit easier for everybody to remember.
Yeah, on-site security teams usually are pretty, pretty on top of that. Like they say, oh yeah, we just tested this yesterday.
They got protocols, right? Oh, okay.
Yeah, they have protocols set, but for a homeowner that might not have the live-on security running tests on everything all the time, it's important just to make sure you know how to use it, make sure you're comfortable with it. You don't want it to be something you're afraid to shut. Like, oh, I don't want to shut that. You know, I don't want to be in here. You want to make it comfortable because it is simple.
Are there any new products, anything new that you guys are working on?
Just keeping up with design and aesthetics. We're trying to get things that are a little more pleasing, but still functional. Mm-hmm. That's probably the biggest one, where they want to see something that looks nice. Handle is a big thing with that, because ours is strong and secure, and sometimes the handles and stuff spec'd within a home won't work with our, not saying it won't work, it's just over time it's going to start loosening. And
well, let's talk about finishing materiality. Mm-hmm. What are the options?
Well, the options would be starting with jam configuration. We have a flush jam system or an offset or notch jam. Flush jam would require you to have an edge pole that you're going to pop out as a typical pocket door. You're going to slide that, and then you're going to have a flush pole that's going to be in the door that you want to go and shut as well. Then there's, on the offset jam, you're going to have a physical handle that you use, which we prefer an offset jam or a notch. The jam would come down and then be notched for the handle, and then you can take that and slide it. We prefer the large handle because that just takes one step out of the edge pull where you have to just pop it out and pull it. Again, we're talking duress and simplicity. A lot of people just look at that like that doesn't matter. It does. If you have a handle already there, you're just pulling it. If you have to pop it out and pull it, that's just an extra step. Might not be a big deal for most people, but we don't want it to be a deal at all for anyone. And that's where we get with aesthetics and design, is mostly the handles and the hardware mm-hmm. for that. And we're going to research in doing more things, mm-hmm. being able to be more open to mm-hmm. designers and like that. Once they know what we need and can spec out specific things, then we'll have more options that we can offer on that instead of like a hospital door handle.
Right. Our exit buttons, we have developed an exit button that's more aesthetically pleasing than the typical one you'd see in a commercial environment, airport or something like that. We're trying to integrate them more into the design of the overall space. And that might be something as simple as the exit button itself. Could be a floor track, it could be a hinge on a door. All of those things, we're trying to advance and figure out different materials that are easier to use and more aesthetically pleasing.
Yeah, talking like the room build out, you said you can make the room nice. It doesn't have to be bunkerish. It could be a lavish room. Well, if you're working with us and you're like, wow, look at this room, look at that handle. So that's where we're trying to, you know, help make keep the room with that aesthetic mm-hmm. of like, this is nice, this is a really cool space that I want to be in. And that's where we're going to try to additionally work with that. Because for years it's been simple and secure, which is good, but the hardware's also been that.
And it simple and secure.
Yes. So
yeah, bottom line is we're always going to aim for that. If we can use the same or similarly designed product, this is just as strong or stronger, we're more than happy to use that product. Yeah. We will never undercut the quality of our doors or our systems by using something that is not as robustly built as our product.
Anything else that we didn't cover that you think, for our purposes here, we should?
Off the top of my head, I think you're pretty good at this, Josh.
I think, really, you know, more people need to consider it. You know, it's something that we read about every day. It's something that's attainable for everyone if they just think about what's important, invest a little bit in their family, invest a little bit in themselves, and you can find a safer middle work for you.
And to that point, and this is probably the perfect place to wrap, this is, you know, Doctoring Up Design was crafted and created for the design community to solve pain points. This is something that is of importance. It's an important issue. And a pain point for specifiers is trying to craft something that is made for safety and security into a well-designed space without it detracting mm-hmm. from the nature of the work, while at the same time fitting into a specific budget, which is not always easy to do. So being able to present new ideas like this is incredibly valuable. So I love that. I love that you guys were able to come back for part two.
Thank
you.
It was nice having this in person.
Yeah.
I know. I love that. Absolutely. And if you're listening, and again, I would encourage you, go back to the first episode and listen to some of the other things that we talked about. A lot of them were the same issues, but we got to delve deeper into a few of them, which I'm really thankful for. But go listen to that one. And if you have any questions, contact us. There will also be a link that you can contact saferoom.com. You can talk to Matt. You can talk to Garrett. And I know they would love to answer your questions as well.
Absolutely.
Thanks, guys.
Let's do it again.
Thank you.
Thank you, Garrett. Thank you, Matt, with saferoom.com for your time and expertise. This was part two of a series that was held live from the Design Hardware showroom in Los Angeles. Check out the Instagram feed at Design Hardware and Flooring for more information as it's released. You can also check the show notes for information that was discussed here in this episode. Thank you, Michelle Solomons and Avi Balsam with Design Hardware for your continued and unwavering support of the design and architecture community. And thank you for listening to the podcast. I love hearing from you, love learning about new products and guests you think should be featured on the show. So email me. I can be reached via email at convobydesign@outlook.com with ideas and suggestions. Until the next episode, take care. Be well.